Hello all and welcome back to the Simply Commercial podcast. My name is Dylan and I'm a first year student at the University of Southampton and I'm going to be your host for today. Just quickly before we start, feel free to drop me a connection on LinkedIn at Dylan Andrew if you want to request a topic for discussion or find the discussion interesting. Also, be sure to follow us on our other social media profiles at the Simply Commercial podcast. Today we will be discussing the current movements around the push towards green finance. Recently, there has been a great deal of news about increases in ESG investment. ESG is otherwise known as environmental, social, and corporate governance. Today we will be focusing on the first aspect of that acronym, which is the environmental investments. Environmental criteria may include a company's energy use, waste pollution, natural resource conservation, and treatment of animals. The criteria can also be used in evaluating any environmental risks a company might face and how a company is managing those risks. For example, are there issues related to its ownership of contaminated land, its disposal of hazardous waste, its management of toxic emissions, or its compliance with governmental regulations? Now, a main aspect of that is the compliance with environmental regulations and also the management of toxic emissions, which will be touched on in today's episode. So, the increases in sustainable investment and potential issues. So we see time and time again, as society changes, its trends with regards to consumer behaviour also changes. In the past few years, we have seen trends towards sustainability and green branding. This is all well and good, but the consumer behaviour is causing firms that are involved in financial productions, such as fund houses, insurers and pension funds, to rebrand and be more involved in green investment. So what's the problem surrounding this? The words are corporate greenwashing. Now, greenwashing is defined as a firm who spends more time and money claiming to be green through advertising and marketing, other than actually implementing business practices that minimises the environmental impact. So there must be a solution for this, right? Well, recently, the EU has showed its power in full force to combat corporate greenwashing. In a Financial Times article, there was a discussion regarding the SFDR. This acronym stands for the Sustainable Finance Disclosure Regulation, which has the aim of driving €1 trillion worth of investment into green infrastructure over the next decade. But why is this such an important turning point? Well, we see time and time again that the sustainability label always sells to consumers. In 2017, a Unilever study showed that 33% of adults in the UK are now buying from brands based off of their social and environmental impact. That's one third of adults are seeing the sustainability label and considering it a greater deal over those which are not labelled as sustainable. So now we can sort of grasp and understand the impact that a lack of regulation could have. Without these, we would see a considerable amount of businesses and firms not investing in green business, but rather saying that and claiming that they are sustainable. These investments are crucial. The Paris Accord goal of achieving a lowered climate temperature of 1.5 degrees by 2050 is the main goal. So by investing in a climate with a regulation that forces these firms to disclose their investments will lead to a larger amount of profits to these companies. So this forces companies to prove that their products are such. Currently, under the SFDR, firms must do a pre-contractual assessment on the main negative impacts of their investment on the environment. An EU Commission spokesperson said that any sustainability claim must be well justified. And as a result of this, by not being truthful in investigation, there will be penalties for this non-compliance. The increased efforts that may arise has, however, created a debate over whether the actual impact is significant. James Alexander, who is the chief executive of UK Sustainable Investment and Finance Association has said that some financial advisors are saying that almost every fund is marketed as sustainable now. How did they determine which are most sustainable? The SFDR categorizes sustainable green finance into color codes, and in 2022, issues such as carbon footprint, investments in companies active in fossil fuel sectors, and exposure to controversial weapons such as cluster bombs will have to be disclosed. So, what's the impact of all of this push towards green finance? Well, PwC predicts that assets in sustainable investment products in Europe will jump more than threefold to reach 7.6 trillion euros by 2025. By forcing this legislation, it will create a greater deal of certainty for investments and capital gains. Ultimately, it rewards the integrity of large companies to invest in green initiatives. Because of this, we will see these investments and financing of green infrastructure arrangements. We'll see the companies that are involved in this see their share prices rocket. And this has been described by Ms. Robaig, who is the head of ESG at Aviva Investors, and has claimed that the benefits will be substantial to the share price and value of companies, in that those who are leading the way towards green financing will see a greater upwards shift in their share price. Now, the EU are leading the way, and what does this mean for the rest, and what developments have we seen in the past few days? Well, in episode 4, I mentioned that the US are likely to rejoin the Paris Agreement, and as such, after that, they had joined the Paris Agreement now, under the new Joe Biden administration, who has a greater commitment to green sources and will lead to an eventual and greater transition towards ESG investment. In the past week, they have overturned Trump's freeze on ESG investments, so it is likely that we will see a surge in these investments in the US. We also see fund managers such as BlackRock, which has shifted its ESG stance to become a more enthusiastic proponent of the sustainable green finance. It will raise its proportion of funds committed to sustainable investment. In the last year, 62% of its funds met EU guidelines on ESG principles, and this is predicted to rise by 8% to an overall 70% of its funds to meet EU guidelines on ESG principles. And with the new SFDR regulations, it could be the case that this increases to a greater extent and spread across a wider range of fund managing companies. And finally, today, we saw that Nest, a pension fund manager in the UK, who has over 10 million members, has promised to start its commitment to £1.4 billion into green infrastructure investments with Octopus Renewables. Octopus Energy are a private energy provider in the UK and has the aim to invest in onshore wind farms and solar energy projects. Of course, however, there is the issue of unreliability of these kinds of renewable energy sources. However, it provides a significant step towards achieving the net zero carbon scheme by 2050 under the Paris Accord and the EU's aims to reach net zero. The UK is already on track, which it has 40% of its energy already being provided by renewable sources and 42% by fossil fuels. So the pension funds being joined in the UK's younger generation will see a significant spike in profits if these kinds of initiatives continue, which it's predicted that they will due to the momentum that, as I spoke about, of these climate change schemes. So to conclude, I hope that you've enjoyed and found the content from today's podcast being particularly useful and interesting. It's important that we continue to look and research on these sort of issues, because they're going to be big deals, especially for us students in the areas of law or other business that we want to see how they're going to impact our potential clients. the climate change momentum seen across the globe will continue to show significant impacts in climate capital. And as a result, we have to keep consistent with knowing about these sorts of schemes across the globe and just important regulations that we can see might impact other people and a broader range of people. And with that, I'll leave you. Thank you for listening, and I hope to see you all again soon.